This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport, powered by fans.
Hello, listeners. Chris Hambling here. You'll probably be able to tell straight away.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get reward points delivered too. So the ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hey, that we won't have a regular review show this week. Unfortunately, there's a little bit of illness going around back of the Nest Towers. Don't think we've got the coronavirus as a group, but hey, who knows. So obviously, I didn't want to leave you with nothing. The main focus in terms of a review this week will be done on Wednesday night on Love Sport, so that's live 9 till 10 p.m. If you want to check that one out, you can listen online, or podcast will follow shortly afterwards. And of course, the preview boys will be looking ahead to the Everton game later in the week as well. I dare say they'll have a fair bit to say around what's going on at the club at the moment. But I didn't want to leave you with absolutely nothing. It won't be particularly long. You know, you get this explanation as to why we haven't got a review show, but you'll also get some of my thoughts on, I mean, first of all, the game. I'll mention that now. Not a terrible performance by any stretch of the imagination. First half, really good, actually. Just, you know, everything but creating some meaningful chances, which I guess you can probably say happens a fair bit. But I thought we were comfortably the better side. If you look at the full 90 minutes. But I think most people will recognise that the concerning part of the game was our reaction to going behind. And obviously a terrible mistake from Vicente Guaita. And Roy quite rightly pointing out that he doesn't need to apologise because he's just been brilliant for us. These things happen, and unfortunately when a mistake happens to a goalkeeper, invariably it ends up in a goal. But a horrible moment. He made some crucial saves after that as well. So I don't really think we need to focus too much on that. And the reality is, if that game is looked at in isolation, it's bad luck, one of those things. And we move on and we try and take the positives from what was a good performance with some players coming back, and look to try and put it right against Everton. And perhaps that is the sensible option. But I think it coming so soon after just a dreadfully disappointing transfer window again, it just serves to highlight what seems to be some real problems going on at the club at the moment. Those of you that were with us for the 2-hour transfer deadline show will know by the end of that, you know, we were all very much pretty downbeat and quite angry that yet again Palace has gone through a transfer window and just done minimal business, you know, signing one player who again, unluckily, was out injured and failing in various other deals. And seeing, you know, a fair few go out the door. And that just sort of feeds that level of anxiety and that level of frustration. And, you know, we look at the rest of the season and all we've really got to hope for is trying to limp home. you know, get to those 40 points. And as every game passes, you know, this whole attitude of, oh, we've got the points on the board, it's not a problem, it starts to kind of dissipate that little bit. So, yeah, definitely frustrating for everyone at the moment and really, really tough to take. So I think, apologies for the background noise. I'm doing this in my living room, and my living room backs directly onto a street. So you'll get to hear the wonderful people of Reading in the background generally talking, shouting, littering, kicking things around. So apologies for that. Try to ignore that, but I'll keep going. So look, I put something on Twitter just after the game finished. You know, again, anyone posts on Twitter, I think just after a game, you do have to take it with a pinch of salt, because it is very, very much a reactive comment. But I try to be fairly even about it. But, I nailed my colours to the mast and said, look, I think I'm honestly done with Roy as manager of Crystal Palace. I got, you know, plenty of comments back and in support, some against, but lots of discussion. But, you know, I was taken to task by one or two as well. And the age-old thing trotted out, and I will caveat this by saying I dare say I've said this to other people as well when they've suggested managers should leave in the past. But I was told that I shouldn't be saying a manager should get the sack if I don't have a solution for who should come in next. And I was trying to make the point that it's not really up to me to come up with that solution. And the idea that there's this arbitrary criteria that I can't say I've had enough of one manager unless I've got a whole strategy in place to replace him, it's faintly ridiculous. I mean, if you went to a restaurant and had a bad meal and and then kept going back and kept getting the same meal, and eventually you said, oh hey, restaurant manager, I think you should probably get rid of that chef, mate, because he's doing a terrible job, and the manager went, yeah, I'll do that if you can tell me which chef should replace him, you'd probably be a bit confused. Poor analogy, perhaps, but you know what I mean? That's where my mind is at the moment. And for what it's worth, I do think that, there are managers out there. But it's difficult, you know, I'm speaking personally, but in general, most Palace fans are focused on watching Premier League football, specifically Palace matches. So we really don't have the level of knowledge about managers outside of managers who've managed in the Premier League. You know, managers who've recently managed in the Premier League with decent reputations, who seem to put good teams together. I guess David Wagner's one who sort of springs to mind. Not a fan of Marco Silva, but, you know, Dyche has done a great job at Burnley, but is he the right fit? You know, these are the things that we think about. But if you look at the sort of the managers that are starting to really make an impact on the game, you know, look into the Championship as well. You know, these are managers that are not necessarily, you know, on the lips of fans when there's a vacancy at their club. And really, that's what, you know, we're talking about. We've got a manager in place now, hugely experienced, in the main has done a fantastic job. But personally, I just think we've reached that point now where he's not going to change. We've not given him anything different to work with anyway. I don't think it's going to be in his interest or our interest for him to carry on next year. So Let's start that process now. That's where I was after the game. And I believe, you know, in all honesty, I've kind of lost the confidence that we're going to put the points on the board to comfortably stay in the league, as everyone seems to be thinking right now. We're 6 points off the bottom. And we've won 3 games in 18 matches, I think it is. 1 win in 11. You know, those are the things you need to look at when you're thinking about how your team's doing. You know, we've struggled with the performances for a while, but it's always been with that comfort of, hooray, you know, we've got the points on the board anyway. It might not be pretty, but we're getting the results. But lately, the results aren't there either. And the biggest concern is we've still got this problem at home. We're approaching games as if we're the underdog every single time. We're putting out 3 defensive central midfielders into a game and then asking them to get forward when, you know, realistically speaking, you'd like to see something change in terms of the setup, in terms of the formation, in terms of the personnel, to try and do something that little bit different. I think I saw a statistic that in the first half, 71% of our attacks went down the left-hand side, through Wilfried Zaha. And, you know, the give-it-to-Wilf tactic everyone knows we're going to do it. And if anything, Sheffield United didn't really do a good enough job first half of keeping hold of him, but they changed that second half and completely nullified our threat. And yet again, we had the thing that where we didn't start really putting any proper crosses into the box until we took Benteke off. It's maddening. But anyway, I'm going to wrap this up before I ramble on too much longer. I just thought I'd give some context to some of my comments on Twitter. I think, you know, we talked an awful lot on the transfer show about where the club's going and short-termism and, you know, the disconnect between manager and board. And I think that's, you know, that kind of dissatisfaction from fans is obviously gathering pace at the moment. But what I will end with is saying, I've seen a few petitions and people talking about protests and all that kind of stuff. We're not there, guys. Come on. It's, you know, if all the things we've been through as Palace supporters, and I understand there may be a fairly significant proportion of people who, you know, don't know any different, who have, you know, not been Palace fans for long enough to understand how things have been in the past, but we're not there, you know. We're not, in terms of crisis, in terms of being a Palace fan and seeing the club go through a crisis, this really isn't one of those. It's just a case of, I think this is a period of time where probably a season or two from now, we'll look back on and say it was a massive missed opportunity, and that's where my frustration lies. And those old enough and experienced enough will know probably the last time we could say that properly was sort of around 93, 94, where we finished third in the league, 92, 93 season, I think it was. And we just did not kick on. And then we sold our best players. And then, you know, the lack of investment, the lack of interest from the board in building on what we'd achieved eventually led to the team falling down the league and Steve Coppell leaving. And that, you look back at that, and that was a huge missed opportunity for the club to properly establish itself, to be this sort of dominant south of the river club. And we're probably there again at the moment. So there you go. That's what I think, you know, that's where I sum up where my frustration is. But the main thing is, you know, I will continue to back the club. I'll continue to back whichever manager's there. You know, and that's all we can do as fans. We can support the club through what is going to be a tough time. And all we've got is our hope that we stay in the league. Come the summer, we're able to invest in the squad, freshen things up and you know, go into next season with a new approach. But got a battle on our hands right now to make sure we don't get sucked down into that relegation battle any more than we already have. Anyway, so check out the Love Sport review of the Sheffield United game Wednesday night live, or the podcast following it. Preview show, we'll look at the Everton game. And we will be back to review the Everton game on the Sunday next week. Cheers. Thank you. Bye.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates are round. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is, that's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van, unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.